Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. In this episode of FEA Today, we want to consider the reality of our tendency as believers to drift. This is a real problem today in the lives of individual believers and in the reality of the ministries and the churches that have existed for many, many years. There is this tendency to spiritually drift, to start to move with the tide of the philosophies and the thoughts of the culture, the doctrines of churches that maybe once stood firm on the truth of the Word of God, but have begun to drift into acceptance with the culture. I want to begin our consideration today by reading an excerpt from an article that was written by one of the leaders of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association back in the 1930s and 1940s concerning this danger of drifting. He wrote, and I quote, "The easiest thing in the world to do is to drift. It requires no effort whatsoever. All one has to do is nothing. We need to remember that a sick or dead fish can drift with the current, but it takes a live, healthy fish to swim upstream. One of the most marked characteristics of the present day is the universal tendency to drift. Many who were formerly earnest, active Christians have grown careless and indifferent. Others who are drifting may not have drifted that far as yet, but they are on their way. There are a number of reasons why Christians drift, but the underlying cause is that the warmth of the first love for Christ has been lost. And the drift is not noticed by the one who is drifting until he has drifted a long way. It behooves us to watch vigilantly against beginning to drift. The time to stop drifting is before you ever start." End of quote. How true that is. The majority, I believe, of churches and ministries that have existed for decades, if they even still do exist, the majority do not stand where they used to stand. And the reason they have changed is this: people have drifted. They've drifted spiritually, they've drifted doctrinally, they've drifted theologically. Because people tend to drift, ministries and churches tend to drift. I want to consider a portion of Scripture that is so personally applicable to every one of us. We all have a tendency to drift spiritually. And the letter to the Hebrew Christians could not be a more perfect place for us to start this study. For this letter was written to believers who were beginning to slip away or drift from not only living a life empowered by God's grace, but even more importantly, they were slipping away or drifting from their very fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is what the book of Hebrews is all about. So the author of Hebrews begins in just the 15th verse of his letter to sound a warning concerning the tendency to drift. Let me read this in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 1. We read, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Right away here in this letter, we see the warning concerning drifting. And that's really what we want to take the time to consider in this episode of FEA Today. The warning, God's warning concerning drifting, the tendency to drift. The Bible tells us here in this text that there is a moral imperative for every believer to make much of the truth and to comply with the truth. That very first word of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore, is so important. You see, what the author is about to say is the result of the importance of what was stated in chapter 1, namely, the person and the superiority of Jesus Christ, and particularly his personal revelation to believers. We read this in the first two verses of the letter. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. As we see in these first three verses of chapter 2, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is, the things which we have heard, is the basis of not only our salvation, but our Christian life, Christian living in general. Notice the word we, therefore we. The author of this book includes himself in this exhortation. Nobody is excluded or immune from drifting and the tendency to drift away. The third word, we ought. Now, this word denotes not just a suggestion, but a command to obedience. The effort we must put forth in living the Christian life is not optional based upon our feelings or emotions, how we feel. It is commanded by God. There is a moral imperative for every believer to make much of the truth and comply with it. But notice that making much of the truth and complying with it requires intense attention. So we read that we are to give the more earnest heed. Notice this. Not just give heed, not just listen or pay attention, but an adverb is used to intensify the urgency of the issue at hand. The phrase give heed in this text means literally to attach yourself to something, to adhere, to stick to something. It involves active, constant commitment to a cause or to a conviction. In other words, we are to be spiritually alert. We are to be extremely sensitive to the subject at hand. Pay close attention. Attach yourself to what the author of Hebrews is talking about. And what is he talking about? The truth entails the body of revealed doctrine given by Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Therefore, because of what was stated in chapter 1, we, all of us, ought to give the more earnest heed to what? Notice, the things which we have heard. What are these things? These things are the very truths revealed and spoken through Jesus Christ, which we now have in completion in his word. Remember back in chapter 1, we found that in the past, these words of God came through messengers of God or angels, as the word is used. Everything God declared through angelic word or through his prophets of old was steadfast, it was sure, and it happened just as he said it would happen. Now, if those declarations by God through these individuals were steadfast and sure, and as well the consequences of disobedience were just as sure, then how much more sure are the very words we have by Christ himself? This is what the author says in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was then confirmed unto us by them that heard him? If you go back to the Gospel of John, remember, Jesus made it clear to his disciples and the apostles and prophets of the New Testament that after his death, after his resurrection, after his ascension, he would send the Holy Spirit, who would guide them into all truth, and they would, in turn, perfectly pen those words to mankind, which is exactly what we have in the scriptures today. We can read this over in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 12. Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus is making it clear there to his followers that the inspiration of Scripture is something that is extremely, extremely important. The things which we have heard, the very truths revealed and spoken through Jesus Christ, which we have now in completion in the Scriptures. In fact, in verse 3, these things which we have heard are described in verse 3 as so great salvation. Now, keep in mind here, the author of Hebrews is talking to professing Christians, not unbelievers. Our great salvation that we possess is something that we can actually take for granted and even abuse. Today, we can be abusing the great salvation that we possess by drifting away from the truth that Jesus Christ has given to us. This is what the author is making clear. How is this accomplished? How can we abuse or drift away from the great salvation provided in Jesus Christ? One of the ways is to fail to grow spiritually. When we fail to grow spiritually, we are abusing or drifting away from this great salvation provided in Christ. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 5, the author writes in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on." You see that? Move forward unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. One of the ways we can neglect so great salvation is to fail to grow spiritually as we ought. And how do we fail to grow spiritually as we ought? We fail to grow spiritually when we forsake God's word, the revelation he has given to us, and when we even forsake his church, which is the warning given in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." This was the very problem the Hebrew Christians were facing. They were beginning to drift. They were neglecting the so great salvation that was given to them. What are the consequences of drifting and failing in this area? We read back in our text in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, "lest at any time." This is the opposite of the obedience required earlier in the verse. And we have to note that the phrase "at any time" means that any act of disobedience or rebellion is just too much. It just takes one time to face the consequences. "Lest at any time we should let them slip." That is, we should drift away. The Greek construction here is very important. We, the word "we" are the object, not the things. We can understand it this way: lest we should slip away. So in other words, it's not the truth that slips away, it's us. We are the ones who drift. The author of Hebrews is saying, don't go back on the steps you've taken. The thrust of these verses is this: pay more attention now than ever to the truth as given by God, because to fail to do this is to drift away, which is to neglect so great salvation. This is a very serious charge. When you were once focused on spiritual things and made God and his church a priority in your life, and you no longer do so, you are drifting away. You're neglecting the very salvation God has provided for you. Lord willing, next time we will consider this reality of drifting and the danger of drifting. Until then, I thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today, and may God bless you.